WBRI, 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Share Show.
I know we're supposed to talk about the Great White Throne right now, but I was just thinking, why circumcision at all? We just roll over these terms, the gospel of the circumcision and the uncircumcision. We just take it for granted that in Israel, they cut the ends of men's appendages off. Why? That seems so outrageous to do. Of all the rites that you could do, why did it take getting a poor guy's to be part of God's family?
You want me to answer that?
I sure don't want you to illustrate it.
I will not illustrate it. Let me answer it this way.
Please, do.
God gave it to Abraham in Genesis 17, and what it was a sign. Circumcision is called a sign in Romans 4. Mm-hmm. And God promised Abraham that he would have children, a seed, and that he would give them a land, the land of Palestine, that whole area. And so the circumcision was to remind them, you know, cutting that part of a man's, you know, where procreation is.
That's where his power is at.
It reminded them every time they looked down that when they have children that the promise is not based on their ability or their powers. It's a recognition that this is God's promises. It's all God's work, the promises that he gave to Abraham.
So isn't it weird what Israel did with that? It became a badge of pride. It was the exact opposite. They're supposed to look down and go, oh, my God, I'm circumcised. Instead, they go, I'm circumcised. Yeah, you're not. Hey, are you circumcised, boy? Are you circumcised? And they use it as a badge of pride. They turned the whole thing around. They were supposed to be squeaking like mice after that thing.
Yeah, Paul says in his letter to the Philippians, he says regarding us today that we are the circumcision. Who's we? Well, the ones who are offering divine service in the Spirit of God. Not an outward thing, but an inward thing.
But it's based on the outward thing, on the principle of the outward thing.
The principle, that's right. And he's explaining what that principle meant. For we are the circumcision. Oh, what do you mean by that, Paul? Oh, we who are offering divine service in the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And are glorying in Christ Jesus, or bragging about Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. So we brag about Christ Jesus and what he's accomplished, and we have no confidence in the flesh. That is what we accomplish.
You know, that goes back to what I said on Monday, that every part of your life is circumcised. You know, and remember I said that, well, a lot of people will say, I don't have Abraham's problem. Who cares if Abraham couldn't perform sexually? But again, Paul brings this forward and says that we're circumcised, we're the spiritual circumcision. And so every area of our life considered circumcised.
Are you trying to say we're the spiritual Israel?
No.
Okay, good.
No, don't. I'm not saying that at all. Let's just say that what this picture of circumcision, where they're supposed to be weak, they're supposed to look down and squeak. They're supposed to look down and go, oh my God, circumcised. Instead of bragging about it. Okay, well, women can apply this to themselves too. I think sometimes women think, what do I care about the gospel of the circumcision and the uncircumcision? All has to do with the male member. But the idea is weakness in the flesh at your strong point.
Yeah.
Whatever your strong point is, that's where God's going to put his finger. That's where the knife's going to come down.
Mm-hmm.
And Israel's strong point, as you pointed out, was procreation. We're going to make this race. God promises a seed. Well, chop. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, what you just... Oh, my God. You know, and so that is the thing that he put the knife to. Now, whatever in your life is your strength, is your seed, is your production, is what you do, God's going to put his finger on that. That's why I said Monday, if you're failing in business, you're failing with your family, I'm not saying don't try to do your best. I'm not saying you give up, but I'm just saying, but when you're weak, then you're strong. Now, see, when God cuts that part off, then you're strong. Now you're walking in his strength, and circumcision is the picture of it. So when you hear that, think that we are weak, as the Israelite
weak. I think that's the principle.
And now we're going to the great white throne. From there, we go to...
Well, you and
the hallowed grounds.
That's quite a jump.
Yeah, that was. I don't know if we only you and I could. Folks, don't try this at home. We're trained professionals. Don't ever try to jump from circumcision to the great white right. throne unless you've had years
the book
of experience.
The Revelation.
Well, yeah, and
we find that in the book of Revelation.
Yeah, and
starting at chapter 20.
Yes.
Verse 11.
Ooh, you're going way ahead of where I was going to start.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to start at verse 4 just to get general context.
Oh, you're going...
Because, well, I want to show who's
you're
not
going
there.
Ahead. Oh, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to show who's not there.
All right, show us who's not there.
I'm going to show you who's not... Our friend in Canada is not there. The listener is not there. Sheridan, no, you're not there. Verse 4, and I perceived thrones... And they were seated on them, and judgment was granted to them. The souls of those executed because of the testimony of Jesus, because of the word of God, and those who did not worship the wild beast. These things are taking place during the last years of the tribulation. They also, verse 5, live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead, and we're talking about the rest of the dead of all time, apart from those who rise at Christ's return to reign in the kingdom, the rest of the dead do not live until the 1,000 years should be finished. This is the former resurrection,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
And so there's going to be a lot of folks raised in Israel at the former resurrection. We, as members of the body of Christ, have a prior expectation.
Yes.
We're raised before the former resurrection.
And we also know that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are going to be there. They're going to be Gentiles there. In the book of Matthew, we see that in the kingdom, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are going to be there. So they're going to have to be part of the former resurrection. And Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 speaks about this event as well.
Daniel predicted this event. And it was, so when Paul says, behold, a secret I am telling you, we shall not all die, we shall all be changed, that proves the fact that he uses the word secret, that the resurrection he spoke of was not the former resurrection.
And here's the important thing that our Canadian friend needs to know, the Canadian dude, is when Paul uses that phrase secret, resurrection was never a secret. The Jews
right.
looked for it. John chapter 11, Martha says, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day. So they were looking for this day here. This is the last day they're referring to. To the Jew, the last day was the day of the coming of Messiah and setting up the fulfillment of all the promises. That's the restitution of all things that Peter spoke about in Acts chapter 3. So this former resurrection was the longed-for hope of the Jew, and you can see that in John 5 and in Luke 14:14. The Lord Jesus talked about being repaid at the resurrection of the just. And so we find it here in Revelation 20, verse 5. But that takes place at the end, just before the millennial kingdom. But Paul talked about a secret. Behold, I show you a secret.
That's a key word, secret.
And the other key word in 1 Corinthians 15 is the word celestial.
Yes.
Because it was not known before Paul that there was going to be a group of believers who were not going to have to wait till the first this former resurrection. By the way, the former is proper. The King James is the first resurrection.
The first,
it's,
right.
That's
it's
not,
the former.
It's the former of two. And so, but we have a resurrection that takes place, as Paul calls it, a secret. It's a prior expectation. So for our Canadian friend, he says he believes in Christ. I take him at his word.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe in Christ, you are part of a resurrection that has a priority.
That's right.
Just think when you stamp something priority or priority mail, that means it comes there before all the other mail does. The members of the body of Christ, according to Ephesians 1:12, have a prior expectation in Christ. And so we're waiting for something that takes place before the day of indignation. God has spared the members of the body of Christ from the day of indignation. Now, that doesn't mean we don't go through trial now. A lot of people who are against this teaching think, oh, you're just trying to escape troubles and trials. You know?
Yeah.
And my response to them is, go to China.
Yeah.
Or go somewhere where, you know, there's a real suffering going on if you really want trial.
My response to that is, as much as I try to avoid trial and affliction, it comes anyway. I mean, we don't have to try to avoid it.
But that's the day of God's indignation, and we have no part of that. We are snatched away in the secret resurrection. And I read an article once saying, is there a secret resurrection? Of course there is.
Paul said it.
Says
yeah,
it
yeah.
Is.
Some people say this was invented, like in the 1800s or something, but Paul actually, and the reference is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
And 1 Corinthians 15. And Colossians 3.
And he talks about a secret.
Philippians 3.
Look at the word secret. Sorry. Okay, yeah.
All right, go ahead.
But wait a minute. You skipped over that, Ephesians 1:12. That is really good. I'm going to read that phrase. I'm not sure what the—I think the King James obliterates
none of the
this.
Translations
none
get
of the
this
translations
right.
get this right. But it speaks of him in whom our lot was cast. I'm in Ephesians 1, starting with verse 11, being designated beforehand. This is you, Canadian dude, and this is my listener as well. Being designated beforehand according to the purpose of the one who is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will, that we should be for the laud of his glory who are pre-expectant in the Christ. Pre-expectant. You have a King James version there?
Yeah, it says, we should be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ.
That is a totally different translation.
Yeah, it's not first trusted. It's those who have a prior expectation.
And this really dovetails with Paul's use of the word secret.
Yeah, you know, the word it's the word proelpidzo, and the word pro is the word before, and elpidzo is the word for hope, okay? And it's used by John the Baptist when John says, he that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now, what did he mean when they said Jesus was before him? He wasn't born before him, was he?
Nobody existed before him.
He existed before. So what does it mean he was before him? He's before him in dignity, in rank. He's more important than John.
Oh,
he's higher than John.
Mm-hmm.
And so this word pro has the idea of dignity. In all things, he might have the preeminence, right? So this word pro has to do with a dignified place. The members of the body of Christ, if you believe in Christ today, you have a prior expectation or an exalted expectation. If we want to, you know, what's the word I'm looking for here? You want to paraphrase this? We have an exalted expectation in the Christ because no company of redeemed people ever, before Paul said it, were ever had an expectation of going to heaven and being among the celestials. Where Christ is.
And the qualifications for this call are found in 2 Timothy 1, verse 9, speaking of the power of God. That's what we've been talking about this week. We hadn't planned on it, but look, there it is again in verse 9. The evangel in accord with the power of God. Remember, when we are weak, then we're powerful because it's God's power who saves us. God's the one who saves us and calls us with a holy calling, not in accord with our acts. And so this is really radically different than what is going to be happening at the Great White Throne, because there people are going to be judged in accord with their acts. Now, this is a unique administration. And so our friend in Canada who says he's scared, that he's afraid he's going to suffer affliction and distress because he can't see the heaviness and the length of the judgment, there must be a reason he's scared, and if it has to do with acts, he has no worries whatsoever.
Just to finish off today, think about this. Through God's revelation, as we get more revelation, the resurrections get sooner.
Say that again. What's that now?
As God reveals things through time, resurrections get sooner. In other words, first resurrection that was ever known was the Great White Throne, the Book of Job. Then with Abraham, resurrection moves up 1,000 years.
Interesting. I never
knew
that.
And then with Paul, it comes even sooner.
Sweet. I never realized that. That's awesome. Where's that been all my life? Holy cow. We were going to go to the Great White Throne. We didn't do it today, but by the grace of God, we'll do it tomorrow.
Some really want us there, though.
Yeah, we're going to really go to that Great White Throne. I'm Martin Zender, martinzender.com.
I'm Dan Sheridan, paulsevangel.com.
Be with us tomorrow. Thanks.